the Canadian Bitcoiners podcast is just two guys and maybe a guest or two discussing Bitcoin, Bitcoin equities, and the related macroeconomic space. It's not meant to be financial advice, so please, if you're doing any investing after listening to our program, do your own research, do your own due diligence, and understand that any money you invest can be lost. The show is meant for entertainment purposes only, and we hope you enjoy the program.
Hello, Bitcoiners, and welcome to another episode where we do a wrap-up on Bitcoin miners and Bitcoin-related equities, all part of the CBP Media Network. Today is September the 6th, and on today's show, there's going to be three things we'll be talking about. Number one, Core Scientific and their August 2022 update, which has some good and something of a concern I want to bring to your attention. Secondly, we have Big Digital Assets, some really good news with expansion of their one of their subsidiaries into the United States. And number three, Hut 8 and their August 2022 update. What's going to happen with them moving forward as ETH transitions to proof of stake? Is this going to impact Hut negatively? Are they prepared for this? Well, stick around. We'll be talking about this in just a moment. And we can't go any further without talking about the sponsor for today's show, which is ShakePay. It's a great place to buy and, of course, never sell your Bitcoin, but you could if you wanted to. And if you open up an account with our referral code below and you fund your account with $100 and use that $100 to buy Bitcoin or the competing altcoin they have on their platform, ShakePay is going to give you $30 added to your account, no questions asked. And a great way to stack sats on a daily is to open up your ShakePay app on your phone and shake your phone. Doing this once a day, you're going to be rewarded with partial Bitcoin known as Satoshis. Run up a streak of consecutive days and the amount of Satoshis you are given is increased to the point if you do it for 365 straight days, it's going to be 1,000 sats per day per shake. A great way to stack sats. Another good way to stack some Bitcoin is to use the ShakePay Visa card where you load up your ShakePay app with Canadian dollars, and you go out and buy whatever the heck you have to buy and use the ShakePay Visa card for the purchase. For the first 5,000 you purchase, 2% are going to be rewarded back to you in Bitcoin, and beyond that, 1% will be given to you in Bitcoin. Not too shabby. And you can potentially get the whole thing comped to you in Bitcoin. So the whole purchase, every time you use the ShakePay Visa card, you're rolling the dice, and you may get the whole thing added to your account in Bitcoin. So that's another great way to stack sats. And the last thing they have is the Shake Squads, where you could team up with up to four other ShakePay users. And anytime any of those ShakePay users uses their Visa card, everybody in a Shake Squad will be rewarded with 42 sats. So yes, a lot of great way to stack sats with ShakePay. We recommend using it. I use it to buy my Bitcoin, and you should too. So with the formalities out of the way, let's get hashing. All right, so leading things off is a story from Core Scientific, and it's their August 2022 update. And let's take a peek to see what's going on here. And, well, they mine for the month of August 1,334 Bitcoin, which is a lot. And they almost have 250,000 ASIC servers doing their thing on their network. That's an incredible number. Now, in terms of the Bitcoin they mine, I mentioned it was 1,334 Bitcoin they mined for the month of August. In comparison to the previous month, they mined 1,221. So they went up over 100 Bitcoin in the span of 1 month, which is not too bad. Their total hash rate, this is both for their self-mining and their hosting, it's equating to 21.54 exahash per second. In comparison to the previous month, they were at 19.3. So it went up over 2 exahash in 1 month, which is an absurd number. These guys just keep pumping away, pumping more servers on their network and mining a heck of a lot more Bitcoin. In fact, they installed 17,000 new servers just in the month of August alone. Now, in terms of the breakdown between the self-hosting versus their hosting services, for their own self-mining servers, they have 12.69 exahash per second that they're using for themselves, and they're mining Bitcoin for themselves, as opposed to 10.3 exahash per second the previous month. Again, 2 exahash per second, in excess of 2 exahash per second increase from the previous month. So that's a lot of hash rate that they have that's going to be available to them. And that equates to around 59% of the overall company hash rate. Now, in terms of the remaining 41%, that is for their hosting services, where they're providing services to their people that or companies that want to have their ASICs on their network, on Core Scientific's network. And that's another way for Core Scientific to generate revenue. And it's not really tied to the price of Bitcoin. So simply if a company or anybody, they want to have their ASICs installed on the Core Scientific network, and Core Scientific is going to manage it, provide the electricity, and ensure that it's operational up to 100% spec, there's a service fee that comes along with it. Now, for the month of August, they sold off 1,125 Bitcoin. So that shows that they're keeping around 200 Bitcoin just for the month of August. Now, selling the Bitcoin, it's obviously it's one of the things they have to do because they have a lot of debt, and they have to do something with that to deal with the debt. And one way to do so is they are selling a lot of Bitcoin, and they sold it at the average price of $23,000, which is not a bad price considering the price of Bitcoin what it is today. So it looks like they were doing the sale of their Bitcoin over a period of time through the month of August, and now they hold 1,409 Bitcoin, and that used to be much, much higher, but they sold off a whole bunch of it. But keep in mind that because they're operating in the state of Texas, there's some curtailment that's going on over there. And in fact, in the month of August, 11,000 megawatt hours were subjected to Core Scientific's network. Now, if you go look to see Core Scientific, what they mine on a daily basis, you could see one day in August was 45, another day in August was 39.8, then 38.8, and 45, 45. And we keep going on. You're going to see there's going to be a little bit of a pattern here. 45 here as we get to the end of August, 44.6, 43.4. And here we go. It's 36.9, 36.3, 39, and 46. It goes up the beginning on August 31st. But 42.6, then back September 2nd, 37.9, and 34.9, 35 for September 4th. And so as you can see, there's 41 here September 5th. So what I'm trying to get at is that the curtailment is impacting them in terms of how much they can Bitcoin. It looks like the potential Bitcoin that they can mine in a particular day goes down to up to 10 Bitcoin per day they're losing because of this. They're going to get compensated for this, from what I understand. They're going to get some sort of energy rebate that they could apply within the next 12 months. But still, the fact that they're losing up to 10 Bitcoin per day because of this curtailment, it's kind of concerning. Of course, this is always going to be something you're going to have to deal with in the state of Texas, especially during the warm summer months. And here's, you know, we're at the tail end of summer right here, but still there's a huge draw on their network, on the power grid as a result of the heat wave that they're experiencing. But Core Scientific is one of the companies that are going to be impacted by this, unfortunately. But as we move over to colder winter months, you're going to see Core Scientific, their output for Bitcoin is going to ramp up. Hopefully the price of Bitcoin goes high. I mean, unfortunately, it's not showing right now. My block clock, it's around 19,000, give or take $100. So not really doing that great. This is going to impact Core Scientific's ability to manage their debt moving forward. What are they going to do? I don't know. Are they going to sell more shares? Maybe, and then more dilution. Hard to say what's going to happen because it's all dependent on the price of Bitcoin. But this is one of the biggest Bitcoin miners. If this one suffers any drawback that they have to start selling off their business, this is going to be very, very detrimental to the Bitcoin mining game. And it's going to have the ripple effects felt throughout because they have a lot of equipment. And I would hate to see anything happen to this company because this is a company that is very large. We want to see succeed, but they're heavily levered because of their debt. So we'll see if they can manage the storm. And moving along is a very big story, but brief, about big digital assets. And just going right at it is they have announced their subsidiary Netcoins, which is an exchange that sells stuff like Bitcoin and whatever to users. And so they're the subsidiary of big digital assets. And Netcoins has announced to have plans to expand to United States in Q4 2022 is when they plan to launch this. And for those unaware, Netcoin, it's an exchange and it sells Bitcoin, ETH, and other digital assets with 0% funding fees and free cash withdrawals. And they say that they have successive growth in Canada and they're going to be expanding into the United States. And this is huge because the United States is an absolutely massive market, a little saturated when it comes to these type of services, but still there's an opportunity here to make some real gains. Now, they say that they're going to be operating first in four states, California, which is huge, Pennsylvania, Michigan, and Virginia. So getting California under their umbrella, that's huge, because if you look at how big in terms of the GDP with California, how much money circulates within that economy, it could be very, very large, a lot of rich people over there, and a lot of people too. It's a very, very populated state. So this could be something that could be really good. Just Netcoins, unfortunately, is entering in a saturated market, and they're going to have to try to separate themselves from their competitors. They also say they're going to try to launch in additional states in Q1 2023, but this is pending approvals. Now, in terms of Netcoin, I mentioned they sell Bitcoin and ETH, but they also sell 30 other tokens or coins, yay. So I'm not sure if that's going to be something that's going to be appealing to customers and users, but who knows. But there's some FinTech integrations that they have that's going to help bolster their ecosystem and create a strong foundation within North America. Because I've talked about it in the past, and I'm going to talk about it just in a bit, that they have their blockchain intelligence services where that is potentially very, very lucrative for big digital assets. They say Netcoin will comply with all U.S. regulations, and that's basically, this is a par for the course, and they're going to launch with a mobile only that's going to be available for iOS and Android, which is typically where you want to go first. You don't want to deal with desktop. You probably want to first enter into the mobile division, the mobile sector, because that's where primarily people buy and sell their digital assets, from what I understand. But in terms of Netcoins, they say that they will continue to use tools in their blockchain intelligence group. And this is, I've been very, very bullish on this for the past, and I've been talking up this for the past little while. It's not going to be something that's going to give them a lot of money and a lot of revenue moving forward, but it's going to be in the distant future. This could be very, very lucrative as more governments and more large industries like banks use these services. But something of note, Netcoin's Pay will not be available to U.S. customers. And that could be a real bummer, because Netcoins Pay, that's a similar service to the ShakePay Visa card, where you use the card and you get a reward and it gets added to your Netcoins account. So unfortunately, that's not going to be available to users in the United States, which is too bad. But like I said, just entering in the United States market is massive. Entering in California is humongous. And having more and more exposure over there, which is really, really good. And their blockchain intelligence group services, that whole division that provides blockchain analytics. Again, I'm very bullish on that. I know this is not a story per se for that, but this is something we can't overlook moving forward, as there's going to be more and more desire to have these services performed. And they could do it. They have history. The U.S. government has a contract with them, so obviously there's some history there, and they are happy with their services. But yes, all in all, very, very bullish news from big digital assets. So the next 6 months is going to be very, very good to see as they roll out in the United States, and probably within the next year, I'd love to see their user base growth. We'll see what happens moving forward from there. And the last story I have is from Hut 8, and their August 2022 update has been released today. Now, keep in mind, Hut 8, they mine Bitcoin predominantly, and they do mine a little bit of Ethereum. And what they do with this ETH is, they convert the ETH directly into Bitcoin. So that's their model, and they do have a lot of GPU miners right now. So what are they going to do moving forward as ETH moves to a proof of stake? Well, we'll see, because it's expected. It's this whole transition from proof of work to proof of stake is going to take place within the next week and a half. And once that happens, companies like Hut 8 are going to be impacted tremendously. So what's going to happen moving forward? We'll take a peek. So for the month of August, they mined 375 Bitcoin, which is not too bad, as opposed to the previous month of July, they mined 330. So they went up quite a bit. And the Bitcoin they have on their reserves is 8,111. So that's a heck of a lot of Bitcoin. That's their MO. They get ETH and they keep ETH. The previous month they held 7,336. So they're not selling much, if at all, Bitcoin. And So their conversion rate right now, so they mine Bitcoin and ETH, and they convert the ETH into Bitcoin. And what that translates to is about 12.1 Bitcoin per day that they mine for the month of August versus 10.61 for the month of July. So that's a pretty good jump in terms of what happened. They talk about their 100% HODL strategy of their self-mined Bitcoin, which is really cool. Their total ASIC capacity right now, their hash rate stands at 2.98 exahash per second at the end of August versus 2.92 exahash per second at the end of July, which is not a really big jump altogether, but it is what it is. That one thing to note is that in late August, Hut 8 installed 180 NVIDIA GPUs, and this is at their location in Kelowna, BC, and this is currently mining ETH. And they say it's going to designed to be pivoted to on demand to provide artificial intelligence, machine learning, or VFX rendering services to customers. So they're trying to find ways beyond Ethereum mining that they could actually make revenue from all their GPU miners. And hopefully this artificial intelligence, this machine learning, and the VFX rendering services is very lucrative. I don't think it's as lucrative as ETH mining right now, because if it was, they would have already changed that, but it's not. It's obviously it's not, so they're going to be losing out moving forward. They also mentioned, and we talked about this previously, Hut 8 is partnering with Zen Layer, and this is going to provide high performance computing to Canadian Web3 and blockchain customers for the first time. So that's their two strategies moving forward with respect to their GPU miners. Number one, the partnership they have with Zen Layer. Number two, the pivoting to artificial intelligence, machine learning, and VFX. Ultimately, this whole transition to the proof of stake that ETH is doing, Hut 8 is going to see a massive downdraw in terms of the revenue and in terms of their revenue they're generating monthly, but also the amount of Bitcoin that they mined is going to go down significantly. In July, it was reported around 10% of the Bitcoin that they mined was stuff that they've converted. So they mined about 30 Bitcoin, the equivalent of ETH of that. So that means that moving forward, you could expect that as ETH moves to this proof of stake or ETH 2.0, that Hut 8's their output for Bitcoin is going to go down at least 10% moving forward. That's significant. And that's going to be a huge downturn in terms of, as I mentioned, the revenue moving forward. So they're not in a unique position. Hive is another company that is also going to have to figure things out moving forward. But they have talked about moving to high performance computing. So nonetheless, just keep this in mind. I don't think investors are going to be truly keen on companies like Hut 8 and Hive as the proof of stake transition takes place. But over time, then as investors are souring on it, they'll change their tune. And hopefully, as the price of Bitcoin moves up, these companies become Hive and Hut 8 become more and more lucrative and more appealing to investors. But for the next little while, I expect there's going to be a drawdown in the price for companies like Hut 8 and including Hive. So that's just my two cents. I could be wrong, but we'll see what happens in the next week and a half or so. And before we sign off, just want to make sure that you are aware that I'm not a financial advisor, Joey's not a financial advisor, and nobody that's been on this show can be considered to be a financial advisor. So nothing you hear is financial advice. Do your own research. It only makes sense. And with that, take care, because we'll be talking again tomorrow. Hello, Bitcoiners, and welcome to another episode where we talk about Bitcoin miners and Bitcoin-related equities, all part of the CBP Media Network. Today is September the 8th, and we're approaching fall. Let's see what happens with the price of Bitcoin as we get closer and enter the fall season. But for today's episode, there's two things I want to be talking about. Number one, DMG Blockchain, they gave us some news on their mining update. I love talking about them because they're one of the smaller but more efficient Bitcoin mining operations out there. But secondly, we'll be talking about the show Whipping Boy. We haven't talked about them in a while, Coinbase. What's going on over there? Well, they are taking the US government to task with respect to Tornado Cash. So this is going to be fun to talk about. Stick around, because we'll be talking about it momentarily. And we can't go any further without talking about our sponsor for today's episode, and it is ShakePay. It's a great place to buy And of course, never sell, but you could if you wanted to, your Bitcoin. Open up an account with our referral code listed below. And what are you going to do with that? Well, buy $100 worth of Bitcoin or the competing altcoin they have on their platform. And ShakePay is going to give you $30 added to your account, no questions asked. Also, with opening up an account with our code below, you unlock the ability to shake your phone with the ShakePay app being open. And if you do this once per day, you'll be rewarded with partial Bitcoin, known as Satoshis. Do this on multiple days in a row, you get more and more Satoshis per day, to the point if you do it for 365 straight days, the amount of Satoshis is going to be 1,000 Satoshis per day per shake. Not too bad. Then they also have the ShakePay Visa card, where you load up your ShakePay app with Canadian dollars and you go out and buy whatever the heck you have to buy, like grocery, gas, anything you need to do. And while the first 5,000 you purchase with that, 2% are going to be rewarded back to you in Bitcoin, and everything beyond that will be 1% in perpetuity. It's another great way to stack sats, and you could potentially get the whole purchase returned back to you in Bitcoin with a Shake paid promotion. And finally, they have the Shake Squads, where you could team up with up to 4 other ShakePay users. And anytime anybody in the Shake Squad uses the ShakePay Visa card, everybody in that squad will be rewarded with 42 sats. So many great ways to stack sats. So we recommend using ShakePay to buy Bitcoin. I use it. You should use it as well. Open up an account if you haven't done so with our referral code below. All right, so now with those formalities out of the way, let's get hashing. We'll be talking about DMG Blockchain Solutions, and they came up with their August 2022 update along with their Q3 update. Let's see what's going on over there. Now, before I go any further, I just want to point out their hash rate for the month of July. Although it says June here in the text, in the graphics here, it shows July. So that's just simply a clerical error on their part. But for July, the end of July, their hash rate was 680 petahash per second. And then that went up to, in the end of August, to 710 petahash per second. That was their peak, the high for the month of August, although their average was 515 petahash per second. Why is there a disparity between the two numbers? Well, simply because there was heat issues with their S19J Pro models that they are trying to deal with. It's been a very warm summer over there in Christina Lake. As a result, they're not hashing out as much as they would be should the ambient temperature be cooler, but they are working on that as we speak. So for the report they just provided us, of note, I showed you what is their hash rate at the end of July and at the end of August. They are planning to achieve 1 exahash per second, and that's their goal by the end of the year. Of course, they also want to even increase that further to 1.4 exahash per second once they do the immersion cooling and complete that whole project that they are currently undergoing. So from 1 exahash, that's their goal, which would be a pretty big jump from where they are right now, to 1.4, which would be approximately double of where they are in terms of their hash rate. That is a massive jump. It's in terms of how much revenue they had for their quarter, for quarter three, their revenue declined by 12%. And this is a result of the price of Bitcoin. So it declined 12% compared to the previous quarter. And the reason for that is because the price of Bitcoin went down. And although their revenue went down 12% quarter over quarter, the price of Bitcoin went down 19% quarter over quarter. So that goes to show you that DMG Blockchain is getting more efficient at mining Bitcoin, and they're able to deal with a declining price of the spot of Bitcoin. As for their cash holdings, this is something to be of concern, is their cash holdings has decreased to 11.9 million. That was from $28.1 million the previous quarter. So that's a huge drawdown. So something to keep in mind moving forward. They also, for the quarter, they say they mined 212 Bitcoin, which is not too bad. That's an 8% increase over the previous quarter. And of course, they also they were mentioning here, they're dealing with reliability and heat issues with their Bitmain S19J Pro miners, and they're trying to mitigate these issues with additional evaporative cooling capacity. So they're doing the immersion cooling, and it's going to help this particular model to deal with hotter temperatures and to deal with the hotter climate over there. They sold off 171 of the Bitcoin. So they mined 212 and sold off 171. So they're keeping a small number of Bitcoin on their reserves. So that's part and parcel of what they're doing. Something of note, remember their cash reserves is going down at a pretty decent clip. DMG also has no debt, but they continue to consider opportunities for raising debt, mainly to accelerate the deployment in its Christina Lake mining facility. So it's going to be with immersion cooling. Now, I did note that they plan to get to 1.4 exahash. This is not a cheap endeavor. It's a lot of capital they're going to have to deploy to make this a reality. And specifically for the month of August, they mined 69 Bitcoin and they added 87 petahash to their mining capacity. So all in all, there you go. That's what's going on in the land of DMG blockchain solutions. Now, of course, there's all good. They're going to be doubling up their hash rate should they achieve 1.4 exahash. The concerning thing is the amount of cash burn they have. Looks like they're going to be exhausting their cash reserves within this quarter should nothing change. Having no debt is good, and they plan to look at the option, exploring options of taking on debt. And this is at a time when the price of Bitcoin remains low and the cost to borrow is increasing as everywhere is raising, all different central banks are raising their interest rates. And of course, commercial bankers and private banks are going to be raising their rates as well for providing loans to their clients. So that's something to be concerning moving forward. How much debt if they plan to take it on, and what are their terms? Because I don't think there's going to be favorable terms moving forward. I don't think a lot of these banks are going to be looking at these mining companies and say, this is something that probably will be around for the next little while. You're going to look at the charts, look the number go down for the past 8 months with or more with respect to Bitcoin, and there's going to be some questions. How viable are a lot of these Bitcoin mining companies going to be moving forward should the price of Bitcoin remains where it is or even go down further from where we're sitting right now? So something to consider. I do like DMG blockchain solutions. We had their CEO Sheldon Bennett on our show. It's been over a year now. I'll post a link over here if you could watch it if you want. So it was a pretty good update, but I'd like to get him back on the show and we could get some new updates from him that's going on in Christina Lake and DMG blockchain solutions. And the last story I have is about Coinbase, the show Whipping Boy, and I haven't talked about them for some time. And it's a story that I want to bring forth. It's with respect to Tornado Cash. And for people who are unaware, what is Tornado Cash? It's a mixing service for ETH, and it's used for, some people would say, for laundering purposes. So you're breaking the chain from where the money came from, where the ETH came from, to where it's going. So essentially, ETH, you go in, it goes in there, and a bunch of ETH goes in there, and it gets spit out to a bunch of different addresses that you provide. And once that's done, the chain is broken, and you don't know where one ETH came from, aside from it coming from Tornado Cash. So, and what spurred all this from the U.S. Treasury that ultimately sanctioned Tornado Cash is because there's been a large number of hacks in the past year or so, which resulted in a enormous amount dollar-wise of ETH being stolen in these hacks. A lot of it made its way through Tornado Cash and then ultimately spread out to various addresses. It's suspected that where it ended up going was North Korea. And if that's the case, North Korea is then using this as a way to evade sanctions and to find a way to fund their regime and their operation with very little headache and everything with the way sanctions are ongoing over there. But that's the theory. That's what's going on. So what's happened is, well, a few weeks ago, in fact, August 8th, it was 1 month ago today, that the U.S. Treasury sanctioned Tornado Cash. And this was very, very odd because there at the time, there was no other code or project like this that was ever sanctioned by the U.S. Treasury. From what I understand, it was up until that point only individuals, companies, countries, and along those lines were on the sanctioned list by the U.S. Treasury. And this is the first time they included code, and the code being the Tornado Cash project. So Coinbase, in their infinite wisdom, they're helping to sue the U.S. Treasury over the Tornado Cash sanctions. Why are they doing this? I'll speculate this in just a moment. And so they are helping organize and paying the cost of a lawsuit against the Treasury Department over its sanctions over the CoinMixer Tornado Cash. How much is this costing Coinbase? How much is Coinbase bankrolling paying for the lawsuit, which can be very, very costly depending on how long this goes? Every time you deal with a lawyer, it's very, very costly, and it just the whole legal system, it's not a cheap process to go. I'm sure they're not getting a cheap lawyer. They're getting the very, very expensive. No Lionel Hutz here. They're probably getting some really good guys and gals to do their bidding for them. The lawsuit filed Thursday by six individuals, including two Coinbase employees, claim that the Treasury Department overstepped its authority to block financial transactions benefiting foreign terrorists. It alleges that the department perhaps unintentionally ensnared law-abiding Americans conducting legitimate digital commerce through a cryptocurrency service that offers enhanced privacy and security. Brian Armstrong, who is the Coinbase CEO, he was tweeting out once this announcement came out from that the U.S. Treasury was sanctioning Tornado Cash. He was not very happy. In fact, just a few days ago in September, he retweeted that a post by Coinbase board member Katie Hahn examining the possibilities of which to fight the OFAC action, such as the Fourth Amendment, which protects people against unreasonable searches and seizures. After the sanctions were announced, Coinbase talked to OFAC about reversing its decision to no avail. They then reached out to its employees and found several who were affected by the Tornado sanctions. So he found that one of them was using Tornado to send a donation to Ukraine. And now that some funds are locked in the service, according to the lawsuit. So these funds are now trapped, unfortunately, and not sent to Ukraine. The other Coinbase employee among the plaintiffs is Nate Welch, who manages customer deposits and withdrawals in the company's crypto wallet. Welch uses other crypto privacy tools, but prefers Tornado because it has the highest volume of users and transactions, which ensures greater anonymity by making it more difficult to trace particular Ether to particular users. There's some questions here that makes me wonder what's going on. The plaintiffs contend Tornado can't be sanctioned because the agency's specially designated nationals and blocked person list only apply to property and foreign countries or foreign nationals that threaten American national security. I talked about that earlier. This is the first time that it's going against code. Tornado customers also claim that sanctions violate the First Amendment right to speak freely and donate to important and potentially controversial political and social matters. And the Treasury's move violates the plaintiff's Fifth Amendment due process rights to freezing their digital assets within Tornado Cash, according to the complaint. So there's lots to see here why it is they're doing this. So they believe Coinbase and the two plaintiffs, along with the other ones, that there's three different amendments that may be compromised as a result of this sanctioning. Now, there's a few questions that make me what's going on here. One, Coinbase. Why are they doing this? Tornado Cash, why would they be going after the U.S. government that is sanctioning it against it? Are they tipping their hand here that they are very much in debt or into ETH? They recently unlocked staking with ETH 2.0. I believe it's the wrapped ETH. I'm not exactly sure what it is, but I remember they announced some sort of staking services they provide with ETH. So they're getting neck deep with ETH, and here it is, they're trying to defend it. Then they have one of their users, one of their employees, sending out ETH to Ukraine and using Tornado Cash as a way to make it more anonymous. Why would they do that? I don't understand. Is there anything wrong with sending something to Ukraine to help them out for the war efforts? I don't know. Locking horns with the U.S. Treasury seems like the wrong move here, but they think this is the right move. How much is it going to cost them? I don't know. If I was an investor, would I be happy that they're spending hard-earned, or I can't really say hard-earned, how easy they got their money, but essentially their capital, they're going to be spending this on lawyer fees to try to fight this. I don't know. Tornado Cash, is this something that's going to make Coinbase more wealthy moving forward? I don't know. It seems to me there's some connection between ETH and Coinbase that it's hard for me to truly connect the dots, but there seems to be something there that makes me suspicious. keep your eyes open for this one. I don't know what's going on, especially with the pending ETH 2.0, the merge, the splurge, and everything else that goes along with that garbage project. There's going to be something going on with Coinbase. I'm curious to see how things play out. This is something that's interesting, but it's also kind of sad at the same time, considering the roots of Coinbase, where it came from, and where it's going. And I hope you enjoyed today's episode. I know only a couple of stories that were on the docket, but one of them, man, oh man, we really had to rip into Coinbase. So with that being said, just want to make sure you are aware before we sign off is that I'm not a financial advisor, Joey's not a financial advisor, and nobody that's been on our show can be considered a financial advisor. So make sure you do your own research. None of this is financial advice. If you do follow us, you're just going to get wrecked. And with that, take care.